On September 12th, 1941, was a Friday, the 20th of Elul. A telegraph was received in Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh. It was addressed to, quote, the rabbis Mishkovsky, Alter, Herzog, Soloveitchik, Finkel, Meltzer, of Beit Ornstein, Jerusalem, with an urgent question from 350 Jews begging, help, answer immediately regarding which day we shall fast for Yom Kippur. It was signed, Aguras Rabbonim Ubalabatim Mikobi. And this telegram kicks off a major controversy. 1941. September 12th, 1941. Let's go back in time. In the late 19th century, early 20th century, Jews began arriving in far-flung places which had not been inhabited by Jews previously. Some of them went to places like Auckland, and others farther north to Japan, especially because of World War I. And what's that?
World War I.
We're going back. 1894, one tshuva is written about this, and then in the early 19-teens, World War I, several Jews start traveling to this part of the world. In the spring of 1941, the Germans invade the Soviet Union, what's known as Operation Barbarossa, and now much of the yeshiva world comes under German control. Until this point, the majority of Eastern European yeshivas, since the outbreak of the war, had moved from their various locales to Vilna at the instruction of the late Gaon Rav Chaim Ozer Grzesinski, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Now you have 2,000 and change yeshiva bachrim and many others who are in this area, and most notably, most famously, the yeshiva of Mir is relevant to this story, who are trying frantically to figure out ways, and the Vod Hatzolah in the United States is trying to figure out ways how to get these Jews out of Europe. Well, as many of you know, there was a Japanese consul by the name of Sugihara, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he should rest in peace in Gan Eden, who was responsible for over 2,000 individual visas, including the entirety of the Mir yeshiva, and a few others, including great Gaonim like Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung and others who were able to get out of Lithuania, travel on the railroad through the Trans-Siberian Railroad, through the Soviet Union to Japan, later to China, and ultimately Rav Hirschsprung went on to Canada. Others, most of the Mir Talmidim were split between Yerushalayim and Brooklyn, and others points elsewhere. So now, In 1941, in the summer of 1941, you have a convoy, these several thousand Jews, and among them several hundred yeshiva bachrim, who are arriving in Kobe, Japan. When they arrive in Kobe, Japan, they are wondering about this question, which has already been begun to be dealt with toward the beginning of the century, which is, what is, according to halacha, the international dateline? When do you observe Shabbos and when do you observe Sunday in halacha? Now, in the Midbar, the Jews knew exactly when to observe Shabbos. How did they know when to observe Shabbos? They got a double dose of man on Erev Shabbos. The Rebbe Shalom told them exactly when it was Shabbos. But this is going to become complicated. Why is there a need for a dateline? And what is the subject of this machlokas? This is what we're going to give just a few outlines of today. But I can tell you, in preparing for this morning, my humility was reinforced because I find this topic personally extremely, extremely challenging.
There are some people who, when they learn these sugyas, they understand it very easily. I find it extremely difficult. And no matter how many maps, which we're going to reference today, and this is, if you're interested in English, I'm going to give you a couple of references right now. I still find it every time when I go through this sugya very challenging to grasp. It just, I find it very difficult to understand. So in the back, here's one place to go. In the back of the art scroll, Rosh Hashanah, they have an appendix where they deal with, it's called Appendix 2, where they deal with this issue of the international dateline in Halacha. They quote the Balamor and Rav Chiel Michal Tukhachinsky, which we're going to get back to, but they have maps. So this is one place if you want information on this topic. A second place to go is there was an article that was published in the RJJ Journal over 20 years ago in 1991 by Rabbi David Palmer, who is one of the longtime students, older than I, of Rav Shechter Shalita. He was, I think he was in the shiur for 11 years, so many of Rav Shechter's ha'aras and thoughts on this were published in that RJJ article, which is in English. There's another article in English that was published by Rabbi Chaim Jachter, and the map that you have in front of you is an article in English, a very succinct article, published by Rabbi David Heber. Rabbi Heber is a rabbi in Baltimore, who my family knows. He is one of those people who can instantly grasp these types of calculations, the mathematical calculations. And so my father once was discussing with him his yard site, and he had a question. My father has yard site from my grandfather on Hey Av. And Rabbi Heber said to him, well, what yard site do you have? So he said, well, my yard site is Hey Av. So Rabbi Heber, without blinking an eye, said, oh, you can never get an aliyah on your yard site. Because he could instantly calculate in his head that Hey Er never falls on a day where you have Kriyas HaTorah. I'm telling you, it's amazing. So this article that he wrote on the international dateline, it for him it's just like he figures out calendars and calculations and dateline, and I'm still trying to figure out, okay, east and west. East, west. It's like different people, their mind works differently. So I'm going to try to give you just the extent to which I can barely understand what's going on over here. But this controversy became very, very intense. If you want to look, there is, and we're just going to mention a couple of outlines of this idea, but there is also a ton, an enormous amount of Torah Hebrew scholarship on this. I just mentioned places where you can go if you're interested to find in English, but there are entire svarim that are devoted to this topic. And later, when we conclude, we'll just give you a couple of lamaisa examples that you need to think about if you travel to places in this area. So now let's get back to our telegram. Because in the summer, when Reb Chatzka Levenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, and the Yeshiva, by the way, Reb Chatzka Levenstein's granddaughter, who was with them in Japan, is someone who is known in this community to many of you. Her name is Rebbetzin Esther Levin. She was a child with this group of Mir Yeshiva Bachrim. Her father was a Rav, a Mir Rosh Yeshiva by the name of Rav Muttel Ginsburg, who she described had a green suitcase filled with the Ksavim, the writings of the Briska Rav from before the war. There was a small group of Mirer, like super Talmidim, who went from Mir to Brisk to learn with the Briska Rav, Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, and they took notes, and he, Rav Muttel Ginsburg, brought them with him from Europe through Shanghai to New York. He became a Rebbe in the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn. He then published them together with the Talmidim. That's what we call the Chidushei Hagriyas al HaShas. It was in this suitcase that she remembers as a child that her father had. And her father was the son-in-law of Reb Chatzka Levenstein, which was her grandfather. She remembers Reb Chatzka Levenstein. She remembers their time in Shanghai. So before they arrived in Shanghai, which is the more famous, they made a brief stop for several weeks in Kobe, Japan. So Reb Chatzka Levenstein writes to Israel, to Rabbi Finkel, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, what should we do about Shabbos? So somebody contacts the Chazon Ish, the Heliger Chazon Ish, who had emigrated to Israel from Vilna in 1933. He was recognized as one of the most outstanding, most brilliant and amazing Talmidei Chachamim in Europe. He was the right-hand man in Vilna of Rav Chaim Ozer Grzesinski Zatzal, who was the Gadol Hador after the passing of the Chofetz Chaim in 1933. And so The Chazon Ish was asked what to do about the observance of Shabbos. The Chazon Ish weighed in on this question, and as we will see, it's based on his analysis of the sugya, based on this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf on the base with the Baal Amor. And the Chazon Ish ruled that they should observe Shabbos on what is locally considered Sunday in Japan. Okay. So, according to the Chazon Ish and many of the Mirror Talmidim, they were observing Shabbos on Sunday. Now, we mentioned earlier that there was a small Jewish community that was kind of sprinkled around the Far East by this point, and they were observing Shabbos on Saturday. P.S., this large contingency of Mir Yeshiva Bachrim is sent out of Kobe, Japan, and they're sent to Shanghai. However, several hundred people, a small group, including one or two rabbis and a couple of balabatim, including the local balabatim, many of whom were not religious, but now you have a mixed community, still in Japan, and we'll see there's a big difference between Japan and China, they now send this telegram to Israel. And the telegram ends up at the desk of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the chief rabbi of the land of Israel. Okay. Well, the Chazon Ish's opinion was, at this time, that the observance of Shabbos is going to be on Sunday. The question that was brought in this telegram was, when should they observe Yom Kippur? So the Chazon Ish ruled that they should observe Yom Kippur on Thursday. Rabbi Herzog hastily convenes a meeting of a group of Rabbanim, and they send a telegram back. Every layer of this story is complicated. Who was at this meeting? How they were invited to this meeting? How they came to a decision? What exactly the decision? That I can't tell you. But the telegram of the answer, that you can see for yourself because it's on your page, right in front of you. One second, just turn to page one so you can see. Can you see the telegram on page one? So if you look on your page, you see the Xerox copy of the telegram that was sent back. You see what it says? 28.9.41, which means it was September 28th, 1941, right at the, literally 2 days before Rosh Hashanah. Union, Rabbis, and Balabatim, great way to spell Balabatim. Jewish Committee, Kobe. In reply, your cable, 12-9, meeting rabbis, my presidency decided you fast Wednesday Yom Kippur. According the counting of the days of the week, current in Japan, stop. On my part, I add, none dare risk danger by fasting also Thursday, but should eat that day according Orach Chaim, section 618, paragraphs 7 and 8, Chief Rabbi Herzog. That's it. So Rav Herzog adds that they should be machmir to eat pachas mikashir, like a person who, God forbid, needed to eat on Yom Kippur but didn't need to eat a tremendous amount for health reasons. Eat pachas mikashir, which was his opinion. What is the debate that's happening here about whether or not Shabbos is on Sunday or Saturday, whether or not Yom Kippur that year was on Thursday or Wednesday? It's on this question of how to establish the halachic dateline. So the need for a dateline in general, again, to the extent I understand this, is that when it's 6 o'clock in the evening in New York and it's sunset 2 days a year at 6 o'clock in the evening, so the sun sets in New York at 6 o'clock, but it hasn't yet set here because we're earlier than them. So it's going to set here when it's 6 o'clock here, but then it's going to be 7 o'clock in New York. And so as you move along this circle, at some point, you're going to see the sunset again, and you have to decide, is it the same sunset from yesterday, or now it's a new day? Where do you decide? So there was a group of Chevra. They decided that there's going to be an international dateline. So if we pull out our Star K Kosher classroom map, I only made a few of these, so please share. If you have, don't have, don't worry. The civil international dateline, you see, it goes, well, it kind of makes like a zigzag in the middle, and that determines whether you are on, let's say, Saturday or Sunday, the left-hand side or the right-hand side. And they have a chart here at the top. When it is 11 p.m. Motzei Shabbos in Yerushalayim, then in New York, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Shabbos. In L.A., it's 1 o'clock. In Chicago, it's going to be 3 o'clock, exactly. In Australia, it's going to be 7 o'clock the next morning. And then you see on the bottom, when it's 10 o'clock, Lil, Friday night in Yerushalayim, etc. So the question becomes, how do you establish what is the international dateline from a halachic standpoint? So there are several views and then a few smaller views. We're going to focus on three main ones. If you want more on this, in addition to the Sefer Kava Tarich, in the back of the 22nd volume of the Encyclopedia Talmudis, there is a full summary of more of these halachic details. It's an enormously broad topic. So the first view is the view of the Chazon Ish, which we mentioned before. The Chazon Ish is basing himself on the Baal HaMaor, Rabbeinu Zrachya HaLevi, who is one of the important Rishonim from Provence, which is southern France, who's writing a commentary on the Rif, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alfasi, in the back of the Gemara. The discussion there on Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, has to do with being Makadish the Chodesh based on the Molad. The Molad is an astronomical phenomenon because the moon goes around the earth. Let's go with that. The moon goes around the earth. And imagine this cup of coffee is the earth, and this pole right here is the sun. So the moon goes around in between. And once a month, the moon is stationed exactly here. And so the light side of the moon doesn't have any light. The light side of the moon, which is facing the sun, it's all light on this side, and it's all dark on this side, because it's exactly in between. And that is what we call the molad. The way they translate it in the art scroll is the, I think it's called the conjunction. I think that's how they translate it. They have a diagram of what we just explained. They have a crazy long series of footnotes here to explain this Gemara, which is very, very complicated. I think it's called conjunction. Yeah, they call it conjunction. That's the definition in English. I don't know what other word to use for that. So the Gemara is trying to calculate the molad and when you can announce the Rosh Chodesh. And the Gemara says, well, where is most of the day? And there is an ensuing debate in the Rishonim and the Balamora's understanding of this Gemara is that in Yerushalayim, when they're thinking about establishing the new month, the new moon, they're going to calculate 6 hours versus 18 hours of where it would still be mostly of the old day. And based on that, based on the amount that they knew about the inhabited world, they established that, well, the new day is going to be based on the next 6 hours, which is 90 degrees. So if you take your map, and you see where Yerushalayim is on the left-hand side in the orange line, Yerushalayim line goes right through Yerushalayim, you go 90 degrees west, and that is going to be the Chazon Ish's line, among others, based on this comment of the Baal HaMaor and the Kuzari, which means that everything to the left of this line is going to remain in the same day as Yerushalayim. So if in Yerushalayim it's Saturday and it's Shabbos, so on the left side it's going to be Saturday on Shabbos, but on the right side it's going to be the next day. However, even though in theory the Chazon Ish and others who take this principle could say therefore that you could actually cut through a landmass with that line. So Rabbi Heber points out in his article, there is a street in some place in China called Dongfeng Street. And if you are on the east side of the street, it could be Sunday, and then you walk to the west side of the street, and then it's going to be Shabbos, and then you go back on Sunday, and Shabbos and Sunday. He says the Chazon Ish thinks that's implausible. So the Chazon Ish has this concept called Greira, where you do not divide a landmass, and even though the vast majority of Australia is on the right side, the eastern side of the line, everything follows the western side. However, if you were to leave Australia and fly off of Australia on what is what is Sunday, then according to the Chazon Ish, you now are on the other side, on the Shabbos side, because according to the Chazon Ish, you are on the right side of the line. Okay. This is the first opinion. This is the opinion of the Chazon Ish, which is why, if you see on the map, in Australia, you would observe, if you accept this principle of Greira, you would observe Shabbos on Saturday, but in Japan, which is totally on the other side of the line, you will observe Shabbos on Sunday. The Chazon Ish wrote an entire kuntres. You see on the bottom of your source packet, this called Shmona Esrei shows, and very uncharacteristically, the Chazon Ish was very vocal about this disagreement. This controversy was very, very sharp, because Rav Herzog's reply contravened the Chazon Ish's previous ruling, and it became a very big tumult. There were people who observed 2 days of Yom Kippur. It wasn't a shaila for the Mir Yeshiva fellows, because the Mir Yeshiva was at this point in China, and China is going to follow the principle of Greira, so in China, you're certainly going to observe Yom Kippur on Wednesday. There was actually some worry, because some of the refugees were planning to leave around Yom Kippur time. One of those was Rav Hirschsprung from Montreal, and there was some concern that their boat was going to have to leave before Yom Kippur, and they were going to go back to the same shaila about whether Yom Kippur for them is on Wednesday or Thursday. In the end, it was delayed, so the Mir Yeshiva Talmidim, they observed Yom Kippur on Wednesday, because that was their opinion from the Chazon Ish that Rav Chatzka Levenstein had told them in the summertime. But the people in Kobe had this question about what to do based on the Pesach from Rav Herzog. The Chazon Ish, I found this online, and it's a downloadable document, and they put a watermark on it, so I don't think that it's a violation of someone's personal property. But there was an online auction several years ago of this letter, which you see on the left-hand side. You could see actually some of the writing where the Chazon Ish writes a very strongly worded letter opposing the view that was promoted in the telegram from the chief rabbi. What is that view based on? So that view is based on the next page, which is the second major opinion, authored by Rav Yechiel Mikkel Tukhachinsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the author of The Gesher HaChaim, that's probably the most well-known of his works, which is a work on the laws of bereavement, avelus, death, mourning, all those topics from transitioning from this world to the next. He's also probably well-known for his Luach. Rav Yechiel Mikkel Tukhachinsky was a great Gaon, early part of the 20th century. He also wrote an entire kuntres on this, explaining his view. It's called Sefer HaYomam BeKadur HaAretz. You see when it's published, Yerushalayim Tibana V'Sikonon Meher V'Yomeinu Amen, Shvat Tavshin Gimel. Right after this controversy erupted, he says, I'm going to write my opinion, which was being presented at that conference at the home of Rav Herzog. And part of this is predicated on the notion that at the time when Chazal and the Rishonim discussed how to frame this question, they were not aware yet of the full extent of the inhabited world, or the extent to which the world would be inhabited. This issue about the dateline, it predates Columbus, but they didn't know that there were people who were living all over the globe. They had a much more limited understanding of where the inhabitants were. So he says we have to go back to understanding, well, where is the central point of the earth? And if that's the center, then the other side of the earth is going to be, that's going to be the next day. So he says, take a look in Siman Gimel, Mikavon. He says, Shemuchrach Lios Gam Kav Merkazi, there must be a central line somewhere. Ubilto Ein Mizrach Vein Marav. Well, if without that, right, then you can't have an east or west. It's east of something, it's west of something. There's got to be some reference point. Vein Haschal of the Sof, Lamagal Hayomi. And therefore, second paragraph, Vahayesh Kol Shum Sofek Lemishu Amokam Amerkazi HaYisraeli. Does anyone have any doubt where the central place is for Jews? Halo Pasha L'Choladeos Shelo Hoyav Lo Yia LiYisrael Shum Merkaz Acher Bilti Eretz Yisrael. Israel is the center. And where? Yerushalayim. And where? Beis HaMikdash. Quotes in Memenu, Gemara in Yuma Nundal Ramad Beis Merkaz Yitziras Shum Memenu Nivra Olam. That's what we call Evan HaShisiyah. The foundation stone, the dome of the rock is over the foundation stone. Shemisham Shasolam, the world was created from there. The world also, the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, refers to Eretz Yisrael as the Tabur Haaretz, the place of creation of the world. So if that's the point of creation of the world, everything is going to be in reference to that. Adam Arishon, Shayarishona B'Yerushalayim. For then, for him, obviously Yerushalayim was in the center. Right? The Gemara has a principle that Adam Arishon was created from the place of the Mizbeach. That's why the Gemara says Eretz Yisrael is Gavoa Mikol HaAretzos, Yerushalayim is Gavoa. Even though he says, obviously, from a geographical, from a globe standpoint, there is no top of the globe, right? We call the North Pole the top of the globe, but that's just arbitrary. You know, for some people, Chicago is the top of the globe. But for Jews, Eretz Yisrael is the top of the globe. And that's why he puts the dateline 180 degrees on the other side. So if you look, according to Rav Tukachinsky, you have the 180 degree line. That's going to put Hawaii on the west side of the line, not on the east side of the line. And that means that according to Rav Tukachinsky, in Hawaii, Shabbos is going to be on, what's that?
Friday,
because it's the other side of the line. According to the Chazon Ish, Hawaii, they're observing Shabbos on their Shabbos, because they've crossed the date line internationally, so their Shabbos is going to be on Shabbos. And according to the Chazon Ish, you also crossed the date line. But according to Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky, you have yet to cross the date line. So when they're observing Shabbos, it's not yet Shabbos. And when they're observing a Friday, then it's Shabbos. Okay. So this is a big conundrum. And there is a third opinion, or there are others, what they call here the Mid-Pacific Poskim. That's what they discuss here in the article from Rabbi Heber. Similar to that opinion, you see there's a letter here from Rav Yisro Salman Meltzer from the 1950s, although there is, I saw a different sefer who has a controversy about Rav Yisro Salman Meltzer. Gam ani maskim lepsak dino shel habezdin be'eretz Yisrael, shemuvusas al tshuvas haradvaz, and the Baal Shem Olameshiv, Rav Shmuel Moliver, that what? She'en l'shanos chas v'sholom es ha-shabbos v'shom makom ba'olam. You don't change Shabbos, the observance of Shabbos, in any place in the world. And therefore, lo liyom rishon v'lo yom shishi. Why? And this is a fascinating argument. Ki ein lonu b'shas v'shulchan aruch shum remez sheyesh l'ischashi b'shmir Shabbos im kavim. The Gemara does not have any reference to the concept of a date line. Doesn't have it. And therefore, ha'ikar mona shisha u'meshamer shvi. You count six and observe seven, and wherever you are in the world, you observe Shabbos where they are. And this was the assumed psak for the people in Japan in the early part of the 20th century. So this is a huge conundrum, and you have to ask your Rav, as Rabbi Heber points out in his article, you have to consult with your Rav to figure out, when you go to places like this, what happens, especially if you're going there on a Friday or on a Sunday and leaving, and the vice versa. So when I traveled to Australia, I discussed this with Rav Shechter Shalita, so he assumed that I should be machmir for the Chazon Ish, which meant that on Sunday, I should not fly out of Australia, because if you fly out of Australia, then it becomes Shabbos. Now, however, Rav Shechter himself in his essay points out that he does not think that it becomes, this was a shayla that was sent to the Ger Rebbe, Rav Shechter does not think that it becomes Shabbos if you were flying in the middle of the day, because he thinks that Shabbos is nikvah at the beginning of the day. So if the beginning of the day was not Shabbos, it's not going to, you can't become Shabbos in the middle of the day, but this is a big question. So Rabbi Heber quotes from Rabbi Heinemann, who is the posuk of the Star K from Baltimore. He's one of the great Mori Hara of our generation. So I had the opportunity to see him when I was daven at the Aguda in Baltimore. So Rabbi Heinemann, his suggestion is he thinks that you need to follow the majority of the opinions that we mentioned. Which means that if you have the Chazon Ish's view and Rabbi Chil Michal Tukachinsky's view and then the Mid-Pacific Poskim view or the local Poskim, that you follow the majority opinion for dinim d'oraisa and d'rabbanan. However, for issues which are dinim d'oraisa only, then you should also consider the minority opinion. Rabbi David Horowitz, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, several years ago published an article on this, I think it was in 2007, because he went with a group of students to Japan. So he had this whole Shiloh coming up and dealing with Japan and what they do on Sunday. So he describes in the article that they had a whole cheshbon of how they could deal with the muktzah and the stuff so that they could still do some touring on Sunday without violating any of the malachos d'oraisa, so they could walk around, and they dealt with all kinds of interesting issues. It was not exactly following Rabbi Heineman, but the same point of being mavchin, differentiating between d'oraisas and d'rabbanans, and saying that, well, we're going to say me'ikar adin according to Rabbi Heineman, since the majority of poskim, meaning the Rabbi Chil Michel Tukachinsky and the mid-Pacific poskim, they both view Japan that Shabbos is on Saturday, so he would observe Shabbos on Saturday. But on Sunday, according to the Chazon Ish, it's Shabbos. So Mida Oraisa, you should not drive a car or other kinds of malachos d'oraisa on Sunday out of concern for the opinion of the Chazon Ish. What about Hawaii? So in Hawaii, Saturday is Shabbos according to the Chazon Ish and according to the Mid-Pacific Poskim. So that's why, locally, which is why when you go to these places, according to Rabbi Heineman, it makes sense because they're following the majority of the opinions. So locally, Shabbos is going to be observed on Saturday. However, the day locally known as Friday, according to Rabbi Chil Michel Tukachinsky, is Shabbos. And therefore, you shouldn't violate Malachos d'Oraisa. So you should be careful to not violate d'oraisa. So Rabbi Heber points out, he says, what do you do on Friday getting ready for Shabbos to light Shabbos candles? Good question. So he says you should light the Shabbos candles with the shinui, so it's only d'rabbanan. Because you want to be machmir for that opinion. The next area that we need to think about is just this whole question in general about crossing the date line. Right, Ad Khan is figuring out, well, what day is Shabbos? What day is Shabbos? What day is Yom Kippur? But let's assume that's not the issue. But I remember when I flew to Australia, first of all, it takes forever to get there. I had to take a train from Baltimore to JFK, fly from JFK to San Francisco, San Francisco to Sydney, Sydney to Melbourne. By the time I got there, who knew what day it was? I mean, mamash, it was wild. It took like 24 hours to get there. But the question becomes, what happens when you cross the date line? Many areas of halacha, like davening, sfira could be sfira shivanakiyim for a woman who's preparing to go to the mikvah. It could be sfira sa'omer. So when it comes to davening, the prominent view, I think, is that, well, I shouldn't say that. One opinion, there are two opinions. I don't want to say what the prominent view is. You should ask your own posek about whether or not when you cross the date line, do you require a new davening? Same question is, let's say you fly and you cross the date line and it's on Shabbos and then it goes back to not being Shabbos. Do you have to observe Shabbos in those interim periods? Bris Mila, Pidyon HaBen. So many opinions. Many people assume that you observe the Bris Milah on the eighth calendar day from the date of birth, and that's how you calculate it. Others, you know, they quote Rabbi Josh Flug, who's one of the great Torah researchers at YU. So he quotes from Shlomo Zalman that Milah, Pinyin HaBen, and Shiva Nakim are all contingent on the individual, and the dateline is not going to affect that account. And this comes back, and this is the last point that I wanted to make, and there's so much more to say, but just so you should be aware of these issues, the Lubavitcher Rebbe has a very unique opinion on this matter. He assumes that when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, Usfartan Lochem Yimacharas HaShabbos, that depends on every individual. Unlike counting of, let's say, a Yovel, which is the Safarta Lochem Sheva Shabbos Sil Shanim, that's incumbent on the Bezdin, Usfartan Lochem is every individual. So, if you have a trip
that you're going to cross the date line, you have your own personal count of Sfiras HaOmer. According to Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I heard that the followers of Chabad do this to this day, if you cross the date line based on your count, you observe Shavuos on your own personal day. I saw this in the writings of the Rebbe, in a collection of his sichas that I found somewhere once, and this is what Chabad shluchim do. So if they're going to see sunrise and sunset, that's going to be a day. And the fact that on the secular calendar, it says that it's still the same day, it doesn't matter, and vice versa. So this Sfiras HaOmer question, you may find, going back to the issue earlier about, you know, observing Shabbos in a day that's different than the locals, you may find somebody in Chabad will have this practice where they actually observe their own Shavuos on a different day than anybody else. The Rebbe has a whole mimer, which I once read, about exactly this issue. So to summarize, when you travel to these places, you want to think about two sets of issues. What day is it? Is it Shabbos or is it Sunday? Is it Yom Kippur, is it not Yom Kippur? And the second thing is this last point about just being sensitive to the things that require time and counting and trying to figure out within your own halachic tradition, with your posek, what is considered your step in the counting, because you may have had a sunrise and a sunset while you were flying, but everybody else, you come back on the same day. It's a fascinating question. Ask a she'elas chacham before you go to these places, and we should all be gesund. We should be able to travel. Ad mei v'esrin.